Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and good evening. You're listening to the Pastor J. Rouse Show, live and direct on Rouse Ministries Broadcasting and Communications. And today is February the 26th, 2014, and it's hard to believe that we were just broadcasting our New Year's and New Year's Eve celebration show, and here we are, almost at the end of February. And I don't think any of us thought we would get here this fast and let alone get here, praise God. So because we're here, we need to be thankful, we need to be grateful, and you know what? We truly are blessed. And I've always said, if you can't find a blessing, you need to dig deep, because you're alive, you're fed, you're clothed, and most of you should have some shelter, praise God. And tonight, I can tell you right now, in Toronto, Ontario, if you don't have shelter, well, then you need lots and lots of prayer, because it's frigidly cold outside. But we are indoors and we are warm, and we're thankful that we have heat and we can pay the heating bill. Praise God. So before we get started in prayer, let's hear from Pastor Richard Brown and his wonderful song, because I feel really that we should be thankful and grateful for whatever we have, no matter how small. There's that saying that whatever you have and you complain that seems so little, somebody wants to be in that position and have what you have, and it would be the world. Amen. So we need to be a little bit more grateful, praise God. So this is Pastor Richard Brown, Grateful People.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I need to know if there's any grateful people in the house tonight that are so grateful for the goodness of God. We come to worship Him. We come to celebrate Him. Somebody tell me where I need to know where I belong. Come on, Toronto. Tell me where. Yeah. To the Lord, I need to know. People in the house, somebody give the Lord glory, somebody give Him praise tonight. glorious God, we praise you.
Amen. Praise God. We're living it up and praising it up here on Rouse Ministries Broadcasting and Communications. And I'm really excited. We have such a wonderful show ahead of us today. I can't say I'm nervous. I just overjoyed is a good word to say. We have the most amazing guest. I'm excited because I can't wait to share her with all of you. I have known her, oh my goodness, I think I have known this wonderful person probably now, I would say probably about 16 years, and was in awe with her from the very first time I met her, and she doesn't seem to realize the role she's played in my personal life, in my walk in ministry. And she's been an encourager, she's just been a supporter, and she's a powerhouse. And I know she's not going to be happy with me bigging her up like this, but as I tell everybody, I am Pastor Jay and I don't tell lies, praise God. And so I think we give God glory and we don't seem to give him enough for that, but one thing we seem to not do is to give honor when honor is due to others. And there's nothing wrong with commenting and praising and being thankful and grateful for some of the wonderful people in our lives. And I can tell you right now, she's one that I'm truly thankful for. Our paths crossed through the AME church. And I tell you, she's always been just a rock for me. And she doesn't seem to realize she's done so many tiny things as she would think, but they were huge to me. And I can't wait to share her. She's a bold woman of God. She's strength. She's soft and delicate all at the same time. She's a woman of great wisdom. And she's very literally, because she writes, she does poetry, you name it, she does it. And she's a presiding elder in the AME church, and we're going to share a little bit more about that church, that denomination, and we're certainly going to be discussing some history, because we are celebrating Black History Month here on the Pastor Jay Rouse Show, and I think she's an awesome person because she loves the history of the church and she loves Black history, and she's very much like me. We like the same thing, praise God. And more importantly, we are a lover of the Lord, and that is what has brought us together, and I can't wait to share her with you. I'm looking forward to hearing from her and all the wonderful things she's going to be saying and sharing. And maybe we'll be able to get her to give you a few little encouraging words and tips of wisdom. Amen. Praise God. But to launch things off, as you know, we are celebrating Black History Month. And so we're going to start it off. Last week we played what is considered the anthem for, I guess, Negroes or Blacks. And it has been around, and it's sung for many, many different people, ironically enough. And so I think we're going to play that, and then we're going to go into prayer, and then we're going to get things moving so we can arrange to get my friend, my mentor, and my colleague, and my sister in Christ, Reverend Presiding Elder Ann Henning Byfield is our guest tonight. And so we're anxiously awaiting to be able to speak with her, and we will do so shortly. But right now, let's click in to what we call the anthem and lift every voice and sing. And this again is by the Harlem Boys Choir. Amen. Lift every voice and sing. And you know what? It might be our national anthem to some degree, but at the same point, the words should ring clear to everybody. Amen. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father, we just thank you, we praise you, and we honor you. And as Pastor Richard Brown, he sang, where are the grateful people? Father God, we are truly grateful. If you cannot find one, at least take a look down and know that I and those listening right now, we are truly, truly grateful. Father, despite what we go through and the things that we do that may be pleasing or not, we are more thankful at the fact that you have loved us unconditionally and you have chosen to continue to love us despite it all. And Father God, it's so pleasing and such a joy to know that you are a second chance, God. Father God, we just thank you for all the chances that you give us and always forgiving, Father God. But more importantly, you said you would never leave us nor forsake us. And Father, we are so glad that you hold on so tightly and never let go. But Father, as we go forth this day, we look to you in prayer for those who may be mourning or suffering or pain. Or Father God, we ask for healing in Jesus' name. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we reach out to all the world. And Father, we declare peace, Father God, because the world is in turmoil. But Father God, we know that nobody can rule but you being King Jesus. So Father God, remind us and continue to do so and let us know that you are the real commander of the world. And Father God, we ask that your grace would reign. We ask for continued grace and mercy upon us, Father God. We ask right now, Father God, and we speak into people who may be suffering from loneliness and depression, that Father, they would know that there's a love that will never die, and his name is Jesus. And Father, we just ask right now that you would send a Holy Spirit to touch those who are feeling lonely and maybe feeling depressed or hearing the words of the enemy and being discouraged. But Father God, we know he is a liar, and therefore we don't even want to speak of him, let alone acknowledge him. And so we ask right now that it be rebuked in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father God, right now, I reach out to you for your show, Father God. My name may be on it, but you are all through it. And Father God, I just ask that you continue to strengthen and encourage me as I continue to do your will. And may I be pleasing unto your ears. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, I ask for a special double portion blessing for our guest tonight. Father God, in the name of Jesus. Ooh, hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come humbly to your throne of grace and mercy, and we look to you for her, Father God. Continue to fill her, Father. Continue to use her, Father. Continue to guide and order her steps. I already know she's obedient, Father. So, Father, I don't ask for obedience, but we ask right now in the mighty name of Jesus that you would continue to clear the path of where you have preordained her to be and to allow her to take up her rightful place and go forth and do your bidding and do your will, and that those around her and encamped around her, that they would encourage and lift and pray and strengthen her, Father God. And we ask for a hedge of protection for anything that comes against her that's not of you, and we'll rebuke it now in the mighty name of Jesus. But Father God, we want to hear from you this very night, and we look forward to it, and thank you and praise you and honor and adore you. We put it forth now and ask it in Jesus' name. And all those who agreed certainly would say amen. Praise God. All right, we're doing things a little bit different because we want to get our guest on because we're so excited. There's so many things that we want to share with you tonight. But we're not going to go ahead and do our international community happenings. There are a couple announcements that I do want to share, though, while I have your attention. First of all, breaking news was posted on our Rouse Ministries Broadcasting and Communications Facebook page. Breaking news. Are you listening? Now, for all those in the Brampton and Toronto GTA regions, the advanced screening of the movie The Son of God in Brampton, Ontario, which is scheduled for tomorrow night, has been sold out. So Pastor Jay Rouse and Rouse Ministries Broadcasting and Communications will be covering the movie. Well, we're supposed to be. We're still trying to firm that up, but that was our intention, and we hope that we can still can do that. Interviewing audience and hosting and the host of the advanced screening and update all of you with a full movie review. Also, stay tuned to a future edition of the Pastor Jay Rouse Show for all the information and highlights. Now, there's a PS on this breaking news. We've also received some top secret information not yet available for the public and exclusive here tonight on Rouse Ministries Broadcasting and Communications, soon coming to Toronto and the GTA region, another advanced screening of the new and soon-to-be-released T.D. Jakes film. So, more details and information to come exclusively here on the Pastor Jay Rouse Show. Amen. Praise God. Also, we definitely want to do a shout out because the wonderful person we're going to be speaking to tonight, she will be at, it says, an evening of poetry with a purpose. Come on now. It says with Presiding Elder Ann Henning Byfield. And, of course, she's a candidate for AME Bishop in 2016. Now, this event is taking place Friday, March 21st at 7 p.m. It's $25. And if you need some ticket information, you can call. Area code 314-741-6808. And it's hosted by Reverend Tracy D. Blackman. And she is with Christ the King United Church of Christ, which is at 11370 Old Hall Ferry Road, and that's in Florissant, Missouri. Okay, check out all our other community international happenings on our Rouse Ministries Broadcasting and Communications page on Facebook. If you need to get in touch with us, you can email us. Okay, we can be found at drjrouseshow@gmail.com or Rouse Ministries Broadcasting at gmail.com. And also, what we're going to be doing is we're on Twitter, so you can always contact us. And it's Pastor Rouse Show. Just Pastor Rouse Show on Twitter. There's no J. Okay? And one more international event. We actually wanted, if you check out our Rouse Ministries broadcasting page, it says, coming in March, okay, marching to a different drummer and dare to be different is the theme of the Pastor Jay Rouse Show for the month of March. Now, here's what we've posted, and you have to take a look at this article. It's quite different, and it says, why did we pick that theme? Because we don't do church as usual. Someone has to be the rebel in the church, and it seems that I, Pastor Jay Rouse, is not the only rebel in the church. Praise God. Unique Christian gospel artists, interviews of those who dare to be different in various forms of ministry. Now, next week, we will be launching this, and for week one, we have an entire gospel hip-hop rap show. Stay tuned. More details will be coming, but it says, in the meantime, you want to check out this article on the rapper Lecrae Moore, who actually used to be with the Wu-Tang Clan. Now, I don't know how many of you know who the Wu-Tang Clan is, but back in the day, the Wu-Tang Clan was like Jay-Z now, and they were the hip-hop guys, but they were not Christian. So he is now a Christian rapping artist, and he's a Grammy Award winner, and he's only 34 years old, but we have so many others out there that we're going to be reminding you of, because we've got some amazing ones that we always support, like Maurice Gray for sure. And we also have some new ones from around the world, I remind you, because we even have a young lady in Barbados that we've got now on our playlist. So check it out next week. But in the meantime, for birthday celebrations, we just want to give you all a big shout out for everyone who's celebrating a birthday, an anniversary. If you've got special things taking place and you've accomplished something, again, we always say you don't celebrate alone, because if you're a child of God, your happiness is our happiness and your sorrow is ours too. But we want to share joy with you this moment. So this is for all the birthday folk. I know that there's been a couple great birthdays and people are celebrating and having a good time. I want to do a special engagement shout out to a friend of mine who just got engaged on her birthday literally 3 days ago. So this is Fernanda. Congratulations and happy birthday, and God bless the two of you. And that's an exciting birthday beyond words. So this is Fernanda.
Everybody pop some Norway, pop some champagne, pop some Hennessy, pop some love. Pop some Norway, pop some champagne, pop some Hennessy, pop some love. Yeah, happy party day. Yeah, who day? Yeah, who day? Happy, 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 happy. Everybody must see the end. Come with a baby, come with a friend. This time party no need to pretend. See, ade, happy party good day. Some my brother chop some chicken, turkey, say who pepper soup. You go drink water, you go kaput. Everybody sing say, you got them the low way. When you see them, they throw it away. You go sing, you go like, you go run. You go the one know where they come from. That's it, but everybody keep dancing and jumping, everybody there, yeah. It's a happy birthday, everybody there. Don't switch up, baby, I'm no hot thing. Everybody make you jolly, they go. Jolly like say, there's no tomorrow. Every day is a holiday. Every day is a party day. Hip, 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 pure. Everybody make you hip-hop, pure. My mama, yeah, yeah. My mama, yeah, yeah. You make a time, but you, yeah. Every party, party day, yeah. It's a happy, happy, jolly, jolly ceremony. Happy birthday, just buckle up your shoes and come here. It's a happy birthday. Everybody don't be guilty for the class. See, because you hear bumper to bumper. Some people tend to fend that to bumper.
You just see them die. For this party, no, they die.
Everybody jump into the jolly jolly. Jump because I don't hear yori yori. Some money, some money. If you like say you want to go this thing, say Get it big deal. For this party, yes, no big deal. For this party, no big deal. I love all of us. Yeah, everybody wanna party hard. Now we have a party hard. Zoom, zoom, zoom. Zoom, 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 zoom. Everybody just come to the zanga. For this party, I get for the zanga.
Cause Baba God, yeah, the old body,
Happy birthday to everybody, man. Happy celebration. Every day is a holiday, man. Happy great day, my brothers.
Amen. Happy birthday. God's grace and mercy be with you. And God bless you for all the things you've accomplished. And we look forward to another year of celebration and excitement. Okay, speaking of excitement, praise God. We're going to check in with the Detroit Mass Choir, and we worship you. And then we're going to be speaking live and direct here on Rouse Ministries Broadcasting and Communication with Presiding Elder Reverend Ann Henning Byfield. So stay with us, and I know you're going to be blessed. And the reason I've picked the Detroit Mass Choir is because when I met her, she was actually in Detroit. She's going to update you on where she's at now and what's happening in her world, and then we're going to bring you some more wonderful historical things and hear a little bit more about her writing and her readings and all sorts of wonderful things. But right now, this is We Worship You by Detroit Mass Choir.
With outstretched hand, my mouth full of praise, with words of faith, I used to start each day. Lord, I know that I can't thank you enough for all you've done for me. You hung your head, you bled and died just to save a wretch like me. So I give my heart. You can use it as you please. And if long as I live, I'm gonna praise you.
You. That is such a beautiful song. They're doing some wonderful things over there. And yes, I'm a little biased to the folks in Detroit because that's close to where my heart is in Windsor, praise God. And so many times I have crossed that border and gone over to praise and worship and shop in Detroit, praise God. It's a joy and a pleasure, people, because I had said I played this song because when I met this wonderful person, she actually was in Detroit, and I was still here in Toronto attending a church called Grant AME Church, and she had come down several times for a few conferences, and I was in awe with her. And I finally listened to a call, and I was also with the BME Church, and I decided to go and head into ministry with the AME Church. And ironically enough, if you know history, they used to be one in the same church. And from day one, I think from the time I heard the Lord call me, she's always encouraged me. And, oh, I'm getting emotional. I tell you, if there was a day that I was down, and I tell you, taking people don't seem to understand, folks, going into ministry is not fun and games. It's some serious business. And if you're about your Father's business, to get down to his business, and that's all you need to be doing. And I tell you, most people won't necessarily let you do what you're supposed to do. And so you got to be so prayed up, and you do what you need to do. Amen. And it's always good to have encouraging people around. And I tell you, there is a gift in church ministry called an encourager. And she probably wrote the book on it, praise God. So ladies and gentlemen, without much further ado, I introduce to you, and I share with many others, and of course I renew to all my AME churchers, ladies and gentlemen, presiding elder, Reverend Ann Henning Byfield.
You are too funny.
Good night.
Praise the Lord. How are you, my sister?
I am well and truly blessed. I am. I'm lost for words. People would laugh if they could hear me stuttering on the show.
Well, let me just say this. Dare to believe that you can have more than you ask or think. You are a child of the Most High God, and nothing is impossible for you. Conceive it. Achieve it. Believe it. Initiate action so that you can achieve it. Embrace the fullness of God's power and presence in you. and know that God is ready to act and make real what God has planned for your life. Tonight is the beginning of new beginnings. Take it and make it real. Glad to be here with you.
My word, now you got me crying. Look at you, done mess up the host on the show. Hallelujah. Oh, Presiding Elder, it's such a joy to have you here. I tell you, look, did you people hear how she speaks? Like, come on. And you know power and authority when she speaks over and into your life. You know it's happening. Amen. But speaking of making things happen, first of all, I got to give a shout out to some AMEers because y'all have me playing Detroit Mass Choir on my show. I am still waiting for Dalton Dexter, and I'm still waiting for Reverend Anthony Vincent to get me some music from you AME churches.
Oh, you certainly have to get the CD that was produced, that is being produced by the AME Church. The first CD that was coordinated, and there's some pieces out now that are just excellent. So I will send a word, a shout out to Reverend Vincent. He is doing a wonderful job.
He just, and I saw something on his Facebook page, and I even made a comment, and he clicked like, and I said, hello, I'm still waiting for my music here. So, you know I have to do you guys justice because I'm an AMEer for life. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So my beloved Presiding Elder, you were in Detroit. You are no longer in Detroit. Where have you traveled in all of these, oh my goodness, has it been 16 years or something like this now?
Yeah, I was in Detroit from 1999 to 2004, mm-hmm. where I pastored St. Paul AME Church in Detroit,
yep.
at Shane and Hunt on the east side. And then the Lord blessed and gave me favor through Bishop Cousin Philip, our cousin, who made me
yes.
a presiding elder, the first female presiding elder in the 4th Episcopal District.
Amen.
And
amen.
I returned
praise
back
God.
To Indiana to serve in the South District. And that covered the southern part of the state of Indiana. And then in 2009, Bishop John R. Bryan made me the presiding elder of the North District, which covers the northern area, which borders Michigan and Illinois and Ohio. The Lord has been gracious. I never would have dreamed that this was going to happen. I never saw in my future that I would be a presiding elder. I love it. Mm-hmm. It has been very rewarding to be able to have influence and sow in and to people's lives and to help superintend now 25 churches. We have planted 2 churches in Indiana in the last 7 years, and both are doing well. So it's just absolutely outstanding. God is just amazing. Amazing.
Yes, he is. Amen. Amen. Now, the AME Church, for everyone who doesn't know, because when I say AME and BME, they have no idea what that means. So what I'm going to do is a little quick history. AME is actually African Methodist Episcopal. And as I mentioned earlier, AME and BME, back before slavery, when it was happening, used to be one church. And the AME,
right.
What happens when the slaves had escaped and come north to Canada before the Emancipation Proclamation was actually declared, there was a Fugitive Slaves Act that was granted, and it basically allowed slave owners to hire people who could come north of the border and come to Canada and retrieve those slaves who had escaped. Now, because Canada at the time was under British rule, they approached the government and asked if they could become British subjects. And so they basically weren't American anymore. They were British. And that's where the British Methodist Episcopal Church came in. Now, once the Emancipation Proclamation had been declared, the AME Church change their name back to AME. And sadly, some of the BME folk didn't, and so the church tend to break away. But AME actually started out in several groups initially through Richard Allen. Do we have any history on him?
Yes. Well, let me say what happened was that there were several churches that pulled out of Methodist churches and became independent Black Methodist churches. And Richard Allen decided to invite all of those together to form a union or denomination. And that was done in 1816. When in 1816, they actually, if you will, charted out where they wanted to see life and growth. And Canada was then one of the places that they saw life, you know, as potential. And so it was there. And as you said, that it was really the AME church, but they called themselves British Methodist. And then eventually there was some separation of the two. But, we were one, very much one, particularly because of the Underground Railroad that went into Canada and the number of fugitive slaves. Many of them joined the AME church and in some cases established AME churches in Canada.
Right.
So yeah, we're really very much connected.
Now we know that there's been considerable growth in the AME church ever since that, because there were only so many. Now, if I remember my history correctly, and I'm glad I'm not being judged because Bishop Brian would say she shouldn't be in our roster. But if I recall, it was Mother Bethel, the church, that was the first.
Well, actually, yes and no. Just before Mother Bethel in Baltimore, which would be Bethel in Baltimore, is older than Bethel in Philadelphia. But Mother Bethel is the genesis. It's the genesis of the movement, and we consider it the mother church because that is the church that Bishop Richard Allen came out of, started it, and had to sue because the white Methodists in St. George's, where he left, did not want to give him the ability to worship and to make their own decisions. So he sued, and then after that there were, by 1816, there were churches in Delaware, in Maryland, in Philadelphia, in New Jersey that came together. The movement throughout that, we organized our first church in a blacksmith shop and then moved to our building, and that's still there. It is the oldest single piece of property owned by Blacks in the same place in the United States.
Okay, very good. And I know that there's several forms of AME, but not directly the AME church, because I know there was Absalom Jones and a few others who had gotten together with Richard Allen, who came up with the plan to actually develop churches where they could be free to do what they want and worship properly. And I think there's the AME Zion, and there's a couple others.
Well, the AME, out of Mother Bethel, out of St. George's Methodist, was a class group, which was a black class called Black Class Number One. And Black Class Number One had Richard Allen and Absalom Jones, and they were very good friends. They started together what is called the Free African Society. The Free African Society was a self-help group that predated the founding of Bethel, and it was out of the self-help group that they taught people how to read. They had first insurance company. It was co-op and taught people how to read. And then when Richard Allen and Absalom Jones walked out of St. George's, it was Absalom Jones who decided, because of the racism at St. George's and because of the fact that they had to sue and all of those issues, that he did not want to remain Methodist.
Right.
And so, but Bishop Allen said that it wasn't the needs of Methodism that was discriminated, and he found nothing wrong with Methodism. So that, but the AME Zion Church did not come out of that movement. They were another church that started, they left a white Methodist church, and when they started around the same time, and they named themselves African Methodist Episcopal, and when Bishop Allen informed them that we had that name and invited them to join, to be a part of us, they opted not to do that and added Zion to their name.
Amen. Now, I want to just kind of take a little leap over here because I think Richard Allen obviously felt the need to have to separate because of some racism that still was in the church. And I can't say the white church because technically it was supposed to be church and everybody was supposed to be in there. But when you're not permitted to sit certain places or even worship at the altar, they wanted to break away. And now we talk about having a black church. And I think a lot of people misunderstand. AME, although it stands for African Methodist Episcopal, is not just for black people. It's for any color, race, and creed. We just worship Christians, basically. And we believe
we are Christians.
The Apostles'
name
Creed,
African,
and that's it.
Yeah, the name African simply is because the people who founded the church wanted to identify themselves as different from the white Methodist church or the Methodist mm-hmm. church, and because they were of African descent. But even in the beginning, there were whites who were a part of that movement. There were whites who walked out. There were whites who supported that movement, and we identified that it was not we wanted to make sure that there was a place where people could worship freely, regardless of ethnicity or color or race. So no, there are whites. I've had a daughter in the ministry who was white and who pastored in Indiana. There are whites that pastor in Michigan. There were whites that pastor in Canada. So that's not an issue for us. Absolutely not an issue for us.
Amen. Okay, we're going to play a song, and then we're going to come back. And what we're going to do within the next segment is a little bit more deeper. And I'm playing this song for a reason because I want to get her all set because she doesn't know I'm going to do this. But I've been monitoring her Facebook page because she always has so many wonderful things. But she actually comes from a legacy, not just from the Lord, but she comes from a family that are praying folk. Amen. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to listen to Reuben Stoddard, I Need an Angel, because when we get back, we're going to hear from Presiding Elder Ann Henning Byfield and a little bit more about her family history, because we got to hear all the prayer warriors that she grew up with. We'll be right back.
I've run out of answers, I've run out of time, and I'm so confused that I'm losing my mind. It's gonna take a miracle to help me this time. I'm traveling a road that has not one sign. Let the bell in my heart ring. Oh, this is my cry. Hey, this is my plea. You see, I need an angel. for me. Have nowhere to go, so I'm down on my knees. I'm trying to see the forest, but there's this one tree. Can't understand why I'm sinking so deep. Help me. Won't you have mercy? Set my soul free, please. And let the bell in my heart ring. Oh, this is my cry. This is my plea.
I need an angel.
I need an angel.
Calling an angel.
Oh,
send me an angel.
Amen. And that was Reuben Studdard, and we heard that he even got an award the other day. Praise God. He's doing wonderful things. And when God gifts you and gives you a talent, it's for a purpose. Don't let the devil lie and steal it away. Share it for the goodness of the glory that is all God's. Amen. And speaking of glory and God, we still have live on air here on the Pastor J. Rouse Show. We have the very wonderful presiding elder, Reverend Ann Henning Byfield. Presiding elder, I hear you come from a praying family.
Yeah, I did. It was interesting. I just finished my dissertation for my doctorate of ministry, and on my dedication page, I listed all of the preachers in my family, and the chair here of the department was like, okay, you are a Levite. And I said, absolutely. On my father's side, my grandfather was a local preacher in Pecan Point, Arkansas. And
all right.
Never ordained as we know it, but started a church, built that church. My father was a pastor and a presiding elder in the AME church and served as the Southern editor for a period of time for the Christian Recorder. My mother was a life missionary and served particularly with interest in missions and overseas. I have two brothers who are pastors. One is a retired bishop and the other pastored in Detroit for a long time at both St. Paul, St. John, and at St. Luke Highland Park. And then I have another brother who never officially answered the call to preach. I have a nephew, nieces, a nephew that's pastoring, two nieces that are ordained. I have a biological aunt from my dad's side who was never ordained, eighth grade education, who designed and started a church and participated in the start of a second church. I have an aunt, and she died. She was 104 years old in Buffalo, New York, who planted two churches, was never allowed to be ordained. So, and then from on my mother's side, you know, there are several on her side. And so it just is who we are. I'm grateful.
Yes.
At first, I used to be embarrassed as a child. There were so many preachers in our family. People thought, oh, those are preachers. I said, yes. But I've come to appreciate the favor that God has placed upon us and the anointing and the responsibility of that. We're very different. Our callings are different, and yet there's a commonality, biblical literacy and salvation and social justice that's mixed in there. My aunt, who died at 104, Aunt Lucy, was a poet and a musician and a writer. My mother was a writer and a musician. And so there's just so many that I see my gifts. My brother, the retired Bishop Barnett, is a social activist. And we're all strong preachers. So I'm just grateful. And when I decided, when God, everybody said for years that I should run for bishop, and I had always said that I could not run for bishop until I was clear that the Lord told me to. And so when I did hear from God do so, and somebody said, are you running because, you know, your brother, your family? And I said, absolutely not. That's not why. And for the first time this year, I said to somebody, I don't apologize that I'm a human. I don't apologize that God has blessed us. So that's who we are. That God just blessed us, and I'm so thankful that he allowed me to be born and raised in this family. There's six of us. There were seven of us. You know, just blessed. Just blessed beyond.
Amen. And it's funny you should say that, because the AME Church, being a church of legacy, I'm going to say that. I don't know how that's going to come across, but we know most people, when they're AME, it's like AME for life kind of thing, and it runs in your family. And I think a lot of people think that, you know, certain people hold certain positions because of who their family name is. But I can tell you, I know for a fact that it doesn't matter who your name is, you still have to fight your way through, because you still have to prove yourself. Because even if they slide you under the table, I can tell you right now, if it may not be the people who put you in the position, but the people listening to you up on that pulpit, they're going to bring you down. So you still have to prove yourself. So I wouldn't say, even though it's a legacy church, because families have gone there for generations and it's sort of part of what they pass on, almost like a sorority or something. But yeah, this is a church you have to prove thyself. So
right, I think you're right, Minister. But let me say that I think you're absolutely right, because every church has legacy. I mean, if you look at Church of God in Christ, if you look at Seventh-day Adventist, you will see generations of people.
Yes.
Even the Brethren Church, you'll see generations of people where, you know, the children. And that is because of the mantle and the anointing. But in each one of those, if the persons did not prove themselves, they wouldn't be effective. They just wouldn't.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I think people don't seem to understand that, you know, we know there's several families in the AME churches that have several lines in ministry, but they've all had to really work hard. And actually, I think, to be honest, they actually have to work harder, because I think people think that they're gonna get through because they're named Cousin or Bryant or something to that nature.
No.
And that's not
no.
it, because you have to work twice as hard, because you now have to not only prove that you're worthy to take this calling, but you have to prove that you didn't earn it. So you've got to work twice as hard. I'm sorry. And I know this church well, and they're not going to let you just slide on through, because they're not going to play with God's business. Amen?
Amen.
Now tell me a little bit about your family, because I know you have some young grandbabies knocking about.
Yeah, I have. I've been married 37 years to Ainsley, who is Jamaican.
Shout out.
and we have my son Michael, who also has an anointing and calling in his life, and we have one biological grandson and Miles, and three additional grandchildren. And they're the joys of our lives. Miles is just, I keep calling him Michael's family. Grandmommy, that's my daddy's name. That's not my name. but Miles is just a joy. He's just a joy.
Yeah.
He says some of the most remarkable things. But yes, I'm pretty excited to be a mother and a grandmother. I'm at a place where God has just been faithful and good, and my life is ordered. Doesn't mean that I don't have challenges and there are problems, but you learn to just believe. If you can't believe that God is who God is, then you ought not to be preaching.
Amen.
And we all go through situations and problems and that take our breath away, but in the end, God is still faithful.
Amen. Amen. Right. And it's so true. I'm so glad you said that, because I think, as I was explaining to somebody a while ago who wanted to go into ministry, and, you know, a lot of people, they see what they see, but they don't understand how it really works. When you're truly anointed by God, I think people don't seem to understand that you can't play church, because if you play church, you will get gobbled up.
That's right. There's
no other way to put it. There's no other way.
There's no room for faith.
Yeah, and when you actually aren't playing church and you're really about your Father's business, you won't get gobbled up, but you're going to go through some things. And I could never understand why so many things would happen, but I think they happen because you've got to learn to go through some things. And I've also told people, what good are you serving people when you can't do a testimony literally on what you're going through to help somebody else? So if you haven't experienced anything, how can you really stand in someone else's shoes?
Absolutely. If you have not seen the faithfulness of God in your life, if you have not been at a place where you were really at a spiritual trial that you weren't sure what was going to happen, you don't know what that means. You don't know what that means. God is you're going to go through it, you're going to live through it, and sometimes you're going to feel that you're not going to make it through, but still you get through. You may not get through in the way that you want. You may not get through with the prayers answered the way that you asked for them, but you get through it. You get through
it. Yes. Amen. And you do. And I've always said that the one thing that I figured out over these years, when it says that God will never give you more than you can bear, I've always reminded people that if that is the case, then you won't break. Because he will take you that brink, but you will never break.
That's right.
And if you have enough faith and trust in him, you will realize that he will only push you that far and then bring you back in. Now, we need to hear from you, because I know – we all go through trials and tribulations. So, I mean, if you, let's say we'll deal with ministry, since we're dealing with the black church, somebody out there wants to go into ministry. What are some of the things that you would give as advice as someone who's not only gone through it, but somebody who would actually be at a point where you could decide if they're going to be let in or not?
Well, let's really talk about first, you have to be sure that you're hearing from God. And I can say that sometimes even in your sureness, you're not sure. I mean, you are sure that God is calling you to do something, and it is an act of faith that you step out. So that's the first thing, that before you do anything, you have to take a prayer, a time of discernment and a prayer to respond to what the Lord is calling you. Secondly, whoever your authority is, your pastor, wherever you are placed, then you need to have conversation and prayer and discernment with the pastor. Most pastors would have seen it. I know as a pastor, I never had anybody that came to me that said that they had been called, that it was not confirmed in my spirit. So there were a couple of people that I did not know before, but when they came and I prayed, I was clear. So you need to seek that discernment with your pastor and submission and authority. And then after that, take a season of study to know. So when I started, I was clear that I did not want to be a pastor. If you could have paid me that I was supposed to be a pastor, I just wanted to be an evangelist and a Christian educator.
Yeah.
And there were several things that, you know, materialized. Bishop Heben and Robinson, who then the bishop, said to me, no. In so many ways, I began to serve, and there was this calling for on my life greater. I went to seminary, and there was a calling. And so then I knew that I was called more than to be a Christian educator. But I was ordained 3 years before I pastored, because I still did not believe that I was called to pastor. But I went through things. There were manifestations that God showed, and I said yes. And the first Sunday that I stood behind that sacred desk, I was absolutely clear this is what God had called me to be. And the Lord just blessed. So everybody, Ephesians 4, everybody's not called to be a pastor. Some are called to be apostles and evangelists. And so everybody's not called. Romans 12, 4 through 7, that there are many gifts in the body of Christ. And so that you may not even be called to be in the ordained ministry. And now we think, I wrote a poem many years ago that called it, aggressively mediocre, that everybody feels that they have to have a briefcase and a business card and a portfolio when they're called to preach. Sometimes, if you look at Romans 12 and 4 to 7, it's just a call to serve. It's a greater call to do missions and ministries. So that would be the second group of things that I would say is really, 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 really humble yourself. And I know that's hard, but just trust God. And so that sometimes people will say things to you that will hurt your feelings. Clearly, hurt your, they will confront you about spirits in your life and who you are. So humble yourself. Thirdly, get you a good mentor. I think everybody needs a mentor or coach, one in the system, one who may not be in the system but is biblically and holy and righteous, And then don't lose your friend. I call him Pookie. Don't give up Pookie, because Pookie may not be saved, but Pookie got word in him. And so Pookie will look at you and confront you. And then lastly, develop a prayer life. Develop a study life. Develop a discipline. Be around preachers. Be around people and grow. So those would be, and then, you know, eventually you need to go to formal education to get, you know, seminary and to do formal study. But the first five things is hear the discernment, you know, go to your pastor, humble yourself to allow people to pour into you, develop mentors, and develop a prayer life.
Amen. Those are powerful words. Praise God. We're going to be right back. And then what we're going to do is we're going to touch base before we close up, because we want to hear about this run for bishop in 2016. And we want to hear a little bit more about, and you just snuck it in there too, said, I wrote a poem. You've written more than a poem. Praise God. We're going to play this song. It's called The Introduction by Laos and Harmony, and we'll be right back with Presiding Elder Ann Henning Byfield and her powerful, powerful words. Praise God. This is for you, everybody, the introduction, and you need to listen well.
Have you been searching for someone to fill the void in your heart? Have you been searching for someone to take all your pain away? Come see a man who died so you can have eternal life. Come meet a man that loves you more than you'll ever know. Let me introduce you to a man, a king, a savior, a provider. My friend, I introduce you. Let me
never too late to tell somebody about the love of Jesus. Somebody say hello
to the Prince of Peace. Say hello to the coming King. Say hello.
And praise God. And we're live and direct on the Pastor J. Rouse Show here on Rouse Ministries Broadcasting and Communications. And we're speaking to the very wonderful and highly intelligent. She may not think so, but we all know she is. Anne Byfield. Now, Reverend, we were just talking about the words of wisdom, and we were sharing that, you know, the mentors in your life are very key and very important, and how we got to have but who basically like kids and actually be a shoulder to cry on. And while I'm saying that, I've got to do a hey, Brother Ainsley, because we know he's always so quiet in the background. But we know he's strength for you, amen?
And the truth of the matter is, he is. I'm the one that's quiet. My publicist, Sarah, and he's the one that's talkative. And so that when he's with me, he's quiet. But Ainsley is much more talkative than I am. It was really funny. So, yeah.
Isn't that ironic?
I am so grateful, Minister Rouse, because, you know, I am seeking the office of bishop in the African Methodist Episcopal Church. And that is a weighty matter. One does not go into that lightly. One has to have much prayer and clarity from God. And that is from over out of years. When we talk about mentors, I have a mentoring group for women who are, you know, in the early process of ministry and trying to discern from God. I also coach preachers in terms of preaching, working out sermons, and my phone rings from Thursday to Saturday as people are seeking those discernments. And my desire to serve God at a higher level or at a different level comes out of the fact that I believe that the future now, and together we can make our strong Zion stronger. It is in what God has said to me is that we need to return to spiritual fidelity, God first, in all that we do, and that when the body of Christ really earnestly and seeks God, and loves God, and serves God, and restores God to God's rightful place in the body of Christ and the church, in our ministries, in our lives, that the church will be stronger. And the second is that we need to have renewed vitality in ministry, church, and community, that we need to we just cannot be Sunday morning people. We cannot go through worship and rote. You know, we just can't keep having the same old
church as usual.
As church as usual. When people are dying and they need a fresh word, they need a creative word, and so that we need, you know, to do that. And then, and I have rich experience in that. I'm so grateful to God. And then transparency, in fiscal accountability, in the way
yes.
that we honor God's resources and stewardship, and then lastly, mutuality and leadership. Is that every, as we talked in the last segment, that Romans 12, we all have gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, we all have, you know, gifts. Ephesians 4, that all of us may not be called to ordain ministry, but we all are
yes.
called to serve. And so that several years ago, I didn't realize that it would be an undergirding for this, but I wrote a poem called My Hope for the Church. You know, my hope for the church is that we will once again love beyond our anger, live beyond our limited, our viewed limitations, expect the unexpected, recognize we are one and not destroy ourselves, strengthen our weak resignation, lessen our polarization, renounce the politicizing is the answer, and capture the spirit of our ancestors who led people to salvation, prayed without ceasing, believed and followed God, and did the work
yes.
of the Lord. And so
Lord,
that's,
yeah.
where, that's where I am. And I really seek your prayer and the prayers of your listening audience, that they may cover me in prayer. They may send any resources they may want to share. Money, we
yes.
need, you know, we need money, we need prayer support, we need volunteers.
Sure.
You don't have to be an AME.
Yeah.
And so we
yeah.
encourage people to help, but certainly if nothing else, to cover us in prayer.
Amen.
And I
Amen.
Thank you for the opportunity to say that.
Oh, please, you know, whatever you need and whatever I can do, if I'm able, I will do it, and with great joy, amen? So you just let me know.
Thank you.
Because we'll support you to the very end, praise God. We're going to stick to you like Jesus. Amen, praise God. So now we know that you're going to make an awesome bishop. You notice the way I said that. I'll say it again. We know you're going to make it. Amen. And I know you've got the gift of wisdom and words. You're very prophetic. Tell me a little bit more about what you like to write, not just preaching and teaching, but you write from the heart. We want to know what it is you do.
Well, so from the time I was a child, my mother said that I was always writing, that, you know, people would take the Sunday morning bulletin and draw, kids would draw pictures, I would write. And
mm-hmm.
she said if she could have, she told me years ago before she died, if she could have kept all of those writings. So that is something that God has given me. Poetry came early. It became diminished for me. I wanted to be an actor, and my father, I'm so grateful now that he did, but at the time, he said to me, no, you cannot go into the, you will not go into the theater. You will lose, you know, what God has for you. And so it was dormant for a while, but Minister Ross, when I would preach, I would get a poem before I got the sermon. The poem would be the sermon.
Amen.
And so
amen.
I'll quote the poem, and as the introduction to the sermon, and so that, and then my second, the first book I booked was a book of liturgy and worship words for worship, and then my second book is called The Essence of My Existence. It's in a forced printing, and it's a book of poetry. I am now. We're editing, I was writing my dissertation, so I didn't get a chance to write creatively, but I am now writing, and my dissertation was the effect of short notice appointments on itinerant preachers in the North District.
Okay.
What happens when pastors are moved very quickly? But I have a couple, I have a book of sermons from Women in the Bible, Leadership Principles, called Issuing a New Press Release. That should be out this year. I have another book called 12 Steps of Unleashing Your Talent. It's a self-help motivational book. That should be out later this year. So God has just gifted me, and I am grateful, and there are a couple other things in the works that we're praying through. I blog. You can. I haven't been blogging regularly. Now I'm back to it, and it's Ann Henning Byfield. Feature is now WordPress.com. And so, that's what I do besides create. It's in my genes, and I love it, and I do it.
Amen.
So you can go to my website, the website for the North District is ndiname.com. That's North District Indiana AME. So ndnd as in David, iname.com. My professional website where you can order my books and other material is annhenningbyfield.org. And then the campaign website is HenningByfield2016.com.
Okay. And you know we're going to link those up and make sure we get those posted on our Rouse Ministries Broadcasting and Communications page. So, but before we let you go, I know that there's a poetry event taking place in March as well, and we're going to continue to announce that. I believe it's in Missouri.
It's in St. Louis. It's going to be on that Friday. Yeah, I'm excited about it. God got jokes. So, about 7 years ago, young people started asking me to come do poetry slams and spoken words. I'm like, are you all kidding me? So, this is my second this year where I've been invited to do, various things. One of the poems that they use in schools around the country is a poem called I Like Me, and I won't do it all because it's a long poem, but it's basically I like me, all of me. This does not come out of delusion or inseclusion. Or out of derision, is just an announcement. No, it's a pronouncement. I have decided, reached the conclusion that I like me. And it was written for teenagers who were going through various ages, stages. And then one that get asked for is called, This Is My Wake Up Call. This is my wake up call. I will no longer be held in tyranny by your domination, manipulated by your unwisdom, Satan, or controlled by your audacity to use. No longer will my hopes be frustrated and dreams devastated and visions aggravated. And it goes on that, and it ends up with, this is my wake-up call. I am not walking in fear anymore. So I do religious, I do social justice, and it's put it on the link.
Yeah, I love it.
Third weekend in March in St. Louis, Missouri, at Christ on the King Church. Reverend Tracy Blackman is the pastor.
Amen. I love that because it's radical, so it is spoken word, and it's not preaching because it's done in a whole different way, and you look like you've got it down packed, a presiding elder.
Thank you.
Praise God. So you know what? Those young people, they had something when they said, you need to come and do this. Amen. God is just tapping into some of the gifts that he's had buried deep inside of you to bring out some fun for you. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God. But before I let you go, and as much as I don't want to, I wish I could talk to you forever. What are some of the favorite things that you enjoy in life and in ministry and some of the toughest things that you find?
I enjoy my family. I certainly enjoy my home. I enjoy reading. I enjoy movies. I like movies. I find a lot of gospel in movies and music. I love to play. I'm a video game addict.
Really?
So I enjoy those kinds of and I really enjoy designing a lot of the poems that I've written, you know, and designing them into cards and so forth. The challenge for me that I had to put into prayer a few years ago was learning how to relax and balance. Because preachers will kill their fool selves. So they take care of everybody else, but they don't take care of themselves. And Brian said to me several years ago, is me first, God, then you know, put me first. Put yourself second.
Yeah.
Put your husband and your family third, and the church is fourth. And church members think that there ought to be one even above God. but that is not what God has designed. And so, Jethro had to tell Moses, what are you doing, boy? You've been out here all day. You know, where are these people? So I learned to, exercise and really, take care of myself. That's the challenge for me. It is easy for me to not get up in the morning and go exercise. It's easy to stay in bed and, or write or get on the computer. But that's really, and then the campaign is intense. Because you're going from place to place. So that has been hard, but it's enjoyable. I'm meeting some wonderful people and really enjoying the journey. So that's what I do to relax and to chill.
Mm-hmm. What are your challenges?
I had to be healed, like a lot of people, of fears. That's why the poem that I started, This Is My Wake-Up Call. Many, many years ago, I allowed the enemy to intimidate me. And so for years, when God would bless me in some mighty way, that negative voice, that other voice would come and say something that would limit my potential. And so I am undoing, God redeems the time, and so I am undoing some years of lack of trust in my own gifts and abilities. That's why it's to be asked to come perform, I just stand in awe. I just stand in awe because these are things that God has said to me early, but I almost let the Satan have victory. So challenges for me is that God, about 8 or 9 years ago, God was just giving me stuff to do, and I finally said, I can't do all this because you didn't do all the other stuff I told you to do. Does not mean that I'm going to start giving you new stuff to do. So in learning to hear God and to be focused and not to be busy work. Song of Solomon 2:15, catch the foxes, the little foxes that destroy the vine because our vines are in blossom. So I'm having to catch the little foxes so I don't stay in busy work and do what really God has called me to do.
Amen. Praise God. And it's funny, you had said something earlier about church as usual and a little bit of history about not just Rebel's ministry, because as I call myself, I am the rebel in the church, and I really don't care. I'm a proud rebel because I can't do church as usual because God has called some of us to be different. And it was a struggle I went through going through ministry because I think a lot of my pastors didn't understand why I was the way I was at one point. I had one pastor call me disobedient, and I couldn't understand why. And I said to her, disobedient to you or disobedient to God? And she didn't know what to say because I am called by God. And if God tells me I'm supposed to do something, it may not be the popular thing to do, but you know what? I always tell folks, even if it's against the grain, if God tells you to do it, who would you rather be punished by, God or man?
So
you got to pick the worst of the two evils. And so you have to understand, I did not just have you on the show because I love you and because I know you're an awesome, awesome powerhouse. But I also know that you don't do church as usual, and you don't believe in a church as usual. And you are the end of my Black History Month and my sequel, running into Marching to a Different Drummer and Dare to be Different Month. See, God has a purpose. And that was a thing that I've always admired about you, because you accepted. Presiding Elder Hughes has always been a supporter of me, because realizes that I had to be who I was because God made me to be who I am to do what I do. And on the Rouse Ministries Broadcasting and Communications show, we do Pastor J. Rouse show. We do Right on Point. We deal with hot topics. We are talk, music, and radio and guests. And we do so much, and we cover everything that's not church or conference, because folks can see church all the time, and folks can see conference, but we are for the churched and the unchurched, because we want everyone to know that there's so much more to Christian people, and that we have fun, and we live lives. We don't spend 24/7 in the church.
Exactly.
And church is in the building, and we go there because we need to learn, we need to fellowship, we need to grow, and we need to share that Jesus in us with our church members. But it's fueling up to go out into the world so we can actually practice what we've learned.
That's right.
And I've always said that. And you see, this is why there's time for a bishop like you.
Come on. Oh, God bless you.
Well, because, look, I got called back to the BME Church from Windsor in 2009 because young people were leaving the church. And they said, Pastor Jay, the young people are leaving and we can't keep them here. And the one person we know they listen to is you. Brought me all the way from Windsor back to Toronto so I could be with the young people to get them to stay. But you've got to be, you have to be a part of the young people. You have to become young again. You have to think young. You have to stop being old and expecting them to be like you. They can't be like you because they're young. I'm old, but I still have to relate to them, and we have to let them know, why would they come to a building where they're not accepted and they're not feeling welcome? They're not going to stay, because I know I wouldn't.
Right.
And
that's
so
right.
It is our
job to make them feel that they can be who they are without being who they are. So they have to be who they are, growing into what God wants them to be. Right.
Exactly. And we were able to shape them. They're radical, but we could take radical and you can either make it a positive thing or a negative thing. It's all how you rope them in. And so this is what happened. And to me, I think it's important. And I feel the same way about a lot of people who have run from structured religion because they feel they're stifled. Well, no, because if we believe in freedom of religion, we believe in freedom. And I've always monitored and followed you and read a lot of what you put out there. And it's time. It's time. The AME Church is ready. It's, you know what? It's not ready. It's overdue. It is overdue, because I know if you were bishop, I certainly would be spending more time doing more for the AME Church than I used to, because of the fact that then I would realize that the AME Church accepts the fact that everybody has a different type of calling.
I just want to remember Bishop Sarah Davis, who died in November, who was elected mainly on a prayer ministry for the church, and Bishop Carolyn Tyler Guidry, who retired in 2012, and Bishop Vashti McKenzie, the first woman
yes.
who was elected. And so we just want to, continue in some of that legacy of what they have done to serve the church and serve well. And I really thank you for the words of encouragement. You have no idea how much you have blessed me tonight with the opportunity. I've been praying off and on all day,
yes.
Lord, you be glorified in what I say and how it's said,
yes.
and I'm so grateful. Thank you so very
Amen.
Much.
Amen. We're going to get ready to wrap up the show. Any final words that you want to put out there?
Support, go on the website and continue to pray for this ministry. Minister Rouse, this is phenomenal. This is your ability to do this and to integrate. So I just pray for you. As a matter of fact, in the name of Jesus, we just speak very quickly, God, that you will continue to expand the Rouse ministry, that beyond her ability to imagine or think, that you're going to spread it even further, and that you want to double the amount of listeners in a very short time so that people may be saved. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you so much. Now make sure you message
you.
Me with all those links so we can keep posting them. I'm going to continue to watch your page, and whenever I see anything, we'll be promoting you as much as we can as well. So know that we love you, and you always have our support no matter what it is. And we're going to talk some more soon, too, because we know you've got some prolific writings to get put out, and you need to expand your horizon as the bishop-to-be. Praise God in the name of Jesus. And we're going to get the AME Church functioning just like Rouse Ministries as an online ministry, because not everybody goes out to a church building. Praise God. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we just thank you, Lord. I ask that you continue to bless the bishop that you preordained, Father God, and just continue to clear the path and give her the vision, give her focus. You said you would write the vision and make it plain. And Father God, so she has written and she has read. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we lift up the AME Church. We lift up all the churches, Father God, that we would not continue to say the doors are open and not be welcoming. But Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, that there would be a feel and a pull for the churches, that people would want to run to the church and not struggle to go. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we speak to ministers this day, Father God, that the anointing of God and the call to ministry can seriously, Father God, and they would not be playing church, but be about their Father's business. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, we speak prolific words out of every sermon that comes forth, so lives can be saved, worlds can be changed, and Father God, we expect miracle signs and wonders, and don't look at them as though they're unusual, but they're always usual because they're of God. We ask it right now as we depart the show. Bless our listeners and all those listening now and soon to listen. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, encourage us as we go forth for the next few days. And we lift it up, and we know that we have spoken it, and so it shall be done in the name of Jesus. And together we say, amen. God bless you, Presiding Elder. Thank you so much.
Bless you. Thank you.
I'm still lost for words. Give Brother Ainsley a big hug for me, and we will certainly catch up. Don't forget to message me all those links so we can start promoting our bishop for 2016, okay?
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a wonderful night. Bye-bye.
You do the same.
Okay, everybody. There, we're wrapping up. So we just want to say God be with you until we meet again. And as we end out, we just want to, I'm going to play this. This one is going to be dedicated to Brother Ainsley, because he has a connection to my side of the family because my father is Jamaican and he is Jamaican. And so we're going to do a little something just for Brother Ainsley. And we're going to close out the show with Caribbean Praise by JD. God be with you until we meet again. Jesus loves you and so do I.
the smile.